I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
All right, we are back. I feel nice, like sugar and spice, but it ain't as good as Frank feels like, because Frank just told me a secret. Can I tell people, Frank?
Sure, go ahead. Why not?
Okay, Frank's going to let me tell you. He's closing in a couple of weeks on a big property in Little Havana as a principal. So whatever Frank was saying earlier in the show about buying in Little Havana, hopefully you took it to heart. We're back now. We've got Chad Bossa. He's the SVP up at BVT. I just love saying that, Chad.
Good. I like that.
It's great. It's really like kind of like well balanced. We talked a little bit about what BVT does, who BVT is, and you know your target markets are the big money center cities: New York, Boston, and DC. What are you seeing going on in those markets? Because each one is kind of different.
Yeah, and they're all very, very expensive, as you know. And you know the acquisition market in those, or the acquisition climate in those markets, are very difficult for anyone really to transact. And so what we have done is kind of look for those smaller boutique deals that are maybe not inside the Seaport District of Boston or Cambridge per se, but maybe in the neighborhoods that are just surrounding it. And we're doing the little value play in development right around the corner. And we feel like that is a better risk-adjusted return than trying to buy something at a, you know, at a 4 cap rate or a 5 cap rate that, you know, you have to rely on rent growth to really realize your investment. So
well, sounds
that's
to me,
what we're typically doing.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find something and build it to a 6 or a 7 and sell it for that 4 or 4.5 or 5, that sounds like a deal.
Yeah, and what we're doing is we're piggybacking off the larger developers that are bringing in value to the neighborhoods, and then we're just going right outside of those and using the kind of the marketing that they're doing for the neighborhood and going right outside of it and presenting a value to, in this case, multifamily tenants. So, you know, where it might be $5 in a foot per month, which is kind of outrageous, in Cambridge, we'll be in Somerville just outside that for $3.50. So, I mean, it doesn't sound cheap to most of us, but for those people living there, that is a value play.
I mean, you know, we're sitting here pushing $3 a foot in Miami, and we're barely able to make the numbers work. I guess we're going to be heading up to Boston to get the Boston rents. Too bad we don't have the Boston incomes to help support them. Now, Chad, what are you seeing in New York City? You got any ideas? You're looking at some deals up in New York. What might work in New York these days?
Yeah, I mean, when you say you're investing in New York, everybody thinks big office towers and everything else, and that's just, you know, that's for the world of the Blackstones and the other larger guys that can write big checks and have been in those markets for a number of years. And, you know, what we're doing is we're looking at Brooklyn, and we had been looking at Brooklyn for the last few years, and Williamsburg is already kind of right across on the L train, is already saturated with new projects.
Yes.
So we're having to actually expand outside of the Brooklyn neighborhoods. And what you find in Brooklyn are, you know, the industrial buildings that may need rehabbed, and you can still present kind of a loft-like environment for a renter. And those are the deals we're looking at there. And we're kind of even going down towards Park Slope and some of the other neighborhoods that have been traditionally owned or condo, you know, that are condos. So we're trying to do rentals in those markets, this area, because they're very attractive to young families that want to get out of the city and can't afford the rents. And talk about expensive, that's where Manhattan is getting pretty outrageous.
Yeah, it's you know, I've had people tell me that you can't really live within 1 hour of Manhattan for a number that makes sense to most people. Frank,
right.
You got to put the cough
button on, quite
difficult,
man.
Well, now Chad, yeah, Frank's sitting here. He's glad he's in Little Havana, not downtown Manhattan there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what's your thoughts on DC, Chad? Because I know you've been doing deals there too.
In DC, we have a little bit different structure. We have an established partner there that we trust, and we're looking at actually doing some office deals there. Those would be acquisitions, and we're kind of trying to source them a little bit more off market. And so that we can understand the story a little bit better. And we've owned an office building there for a number of years and understand kind of how the leasing goes and how it is tied to government expansion and contraction. And, you know, it's a rental market that's very tough to understand. And we really have started really looking towards other asset classes there. So
okay.
It's tough to kind of compartmentalize by neighborhood, but we like that area as well.
Now, you're physically located in an office in Atlanta. You've talked about the high barrier to entry markets of D.C., Boston, and New York. I guess Atlanta's the exact opposite.
Yeah, and it is definitely the case. We've actually never done a development deal here in Atlanta for multifamily, but we did retail deals back in the day. And it's the same with Houston. We had a leftover deal of the partnership I was talking about earlier, and we're actually going to exit that. So we are seeing the barriers to entry playing a very important role in our investments. And if you look at a development map, you can get them from, you know, these brokers that will tell you, look, here's, you know, 50 projects that are proposed, 20 of them will get built. And your product is, or your asset is not in the radius, but you know the renters don't just shop your little area. So you got to be very cognizant of what's going on in the whole area and the submarket. So it is very difficult, but there's no barriers to entry. Definitely.
So what you seek is you seek an operating partner that's got capital that they can invest next to you, that can come in, that's got good track record, best in class, or a smaller best in class. And you look to work with them to deploy capital to get the most advantage and the highest return for your investors.
I couldn't have said it better. Yes, Jim, that's perfect.
Thank you. Well, that's great. Well, Chad, listen, if people want to learn more about BVT, you've got a website. U.S. people, can U.S. people invest in any of your funds?
We have never had that happen, but we could always. We have been talking about it for a number of years, and we just haven't had kind of the bundle enough of the investors to really make a dent in some of the requests. But we are definitely, if you're interested, we can create some kind of feeder fund, definitely.
Well, I've got my checkbook ready. I'll be calling you and Harold tomorrow. Maybe we can cut a deal. Chad, thanks so much for being on the show, giving us the international perspective on some U.S. real estate investing. Really enjoy it. Look forward to coming up again to Atlanta real soon and seeing you, you know, hopefully in the next couple of months.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Chad Bazza, SVP for BVT. I just love saying that. It's kind of balanced, you know.